Feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord. Come on, come on, come on, somebody. Give God the praise. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, and thank you for meeting us at our executive meeting. We thank you all over this land for coming together for one purpose, to be in the presence of the Lord. As we come before God today, I'm asking you to just sit everything, lay everything aside. Renew your mind. Ask him to create in you a clean heart. Just take anything. Say a quick prayer. Father, anything that's not of you, remove it right now in the name of Jesus. You want to be in a place right now because you are at the head of the table, eating with our Father, drinking with our Father as we break the bread of life, as we come to you and just give you nuggets and different things to inspire you, encourage you, and but most of all to help you along the way. So as we say good morning to you, and we're grateful that you chose ADM, our platform, to continue to be in the presence of the Lord and properly brought somebody else on with you, because one thing about God, he is showing out in this season. God is showing out, and if you cannot see it, you might want to go back to him and ask him, clean my ears out, open my eyes, open my heart, Lord, so I can receive and have the same excitement or see or hear what Evangelist Nita is seeing and hearing. Because I'm telling you guys, God is truly blessing me with the teachings that he has brought forth and the teachings that we just started this Monday. When I tell you that my socks are blessed, I am just thrown, but I am grateful that I am coming out of darkness in another area and getting brought into the light, because these things that are being taught, Nigeria, South Africa, Fiji, wherever you're at, is to help all of us to understand where we're going and to apply the things so we will not remain in a state where we're dead, in a state. God is doing, he's doing a resurrection right now. He's resurrecting us from our own thoughts or things that people are afraid. People are afraid to come forth and teach these things. And we are in a place, we are blessed. We are privileged. We are privileged. Hear the words that's coming out of my mouth, that God is giving us what is needed to get us out of that dead state. He is calling us to come up out of our dead state. He is speaking to the dry bones. He is putting us in a place to receive. So do not get it mistaken. God is showing out for a purpose. And you and I need to understand and stay exactly where we're at right now and continue to ride on the train, not having to worry about who is driving. Just know that we are going to receive the blessings as well. Good morning, Minister Shakita. Will you please bring us in prayer?
Good morning, Evangelist. And once again, good morning, saints, and thank you again for tuning in with us at our executive meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We thank you, God, once again, God, for coming in and bringing your presence to us, oh God, and allowing us to be in your presence, oh God. We thank you for this, oh God. We thank you, God. Lord Jesus Christ, oh Lord, we thank you, God, for this day, oh God. Like no before, oh God, we like to thank you, God, for allowing us to be in your presence, oh God. Thank you, God, again, oh God, for the day, oh God, for allowing us to do it aright again, oh God, to walk with you, oh God, to talk with you, oh God, to commune with you, oh God, to sit with fellow people, God, who like to love you, God, like to love on you, like to hear your word and like to receive your word. We love to get the grace of the mercy, God, that you have for us in our life, oh God. We thank you, God, for all these things, God. We love you, God, for all the things you're doing in our life right now, God. Thank you, God, for the removal of the pains, God, that you're removing out for our bodies, God. We thank thank you, God, for this day, oh God. We thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Well, hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, God, for the things you're doing in our mind, God. We thank you, God, for the newness of the mind, God. We thank you, God, for the cleanness of the heart, God. We thank you for all the things you're removing out of our life, God, that was not like you, God, and replaced it with the richness of you, oh God. We thank you, God, for this day, oh God. Furthermore, God, all the things that we're doing, God, may we not tarry in the spirit, God, or in our mind, God, or in our actions, God. When we're doing the things of you, oh God, we shall do it boldly, God. We shall speak it boldly, God. We shall walk boldly, God, and do all the things of you, God, righteously, oh God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for all the things you're doing, God, because it adds joy to our life, God. It adds love, God. Thank you, God, for the endurance, God. Thank you, God, for the strength, God. Thank you, God, for the know. Thank you, God, for the education. For men and women of God that are stealing in us the knowledge that we need, God, to grow forth, God, that we won't walk in error, God. Thank you, God, for the things you're doing in my life, God. Thank you for the things you're doing around the world to everyone's life that's on this phone, oh God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, because you have us in the right place right now, in the right time, receiving the right information so we can grow, God. We thank you, God. This, my God, is the true love of you, oh God. We thank you, God, for showing us what true love is, God. It's caressing, God. It's to honor, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for showing us this, God. It's in your light, God, that we love you, for God, like never before, oh God. We praise your name, God, as you know, God, from here to the mountaintops, God, from the mountaintops to the heavens, God. I shall praise your name. I shall scream your name, oh, hallelujah, Jesus Christ, oh, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you're doing right now. You are doing things in front of our face, God, that never been ever done before, God. Thank you, God, for raising up the businesses that you're doing right now, God. Oh, thank you, God. We thank you, hallelujah, Jesus Christ, oh Lord. We thank you, God, for the homes that you're blessing, God. We thank you for the children, God. We thank you for the people around us, God, that's bringing us enriching into our life, oh God. We thank you for you, God, for stealing us in them, oh God. We thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, God. We praise your name that never before. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. We do thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, because you woke us up this morning and granted us new mercies. So I'm not going to stall. I'm not sure how many of us were on the line last night, but as I stated in my opening statement, that my socks are just blessed off. I'm just blessed. I enjoyed the teaching. I'm in a place right now with an expectation to hear more, to learn more. I am so thankful to God that he has me, you, everybody that's in a place to receive the true unadulterated word of God is he's sharing it. I am so grateful for that. And with that being said, I'm just going to go into the scripture that was given to me this morning. I'm going to go into the scripture to help to be an example of some of the things that we have spoken about since from Monday up until now or whatever, because I know that people are, they hear things, and then they'll be like, oh, well, it's not so, it's not true. But the best thing is to always come back to show people when God says something, his word does not come back void. A person may not get up there and preach in they Baptist voice. They may not be like a Pentecostal teacher. We never know. But one thing about God, we know that God uses his people, those that are called, those that are coming to bring the truth, to bring people out of the darkness. God used them. And some people may need a little bit more reassurance. So what I'm going to read a scripture, and then we can go back, or Apostle Temple, if he's going to come in, because this is his arena. But I'm just going to read the scripture that was given to me. And it is 1 Samuel 15:23. And it says, rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. So now that I've read that, let's go backwards. So what God was, what this situation was when God had appointed Saul as king. He had appointed Saul was the king, and God had given him up in verse 15:1. It says, one day Samuel said to Saul, and I want you all to catch this. It was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people, Israel. Now listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I have declared to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalek nation. Men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. Now, we're going down to verse 7. Saul mobilized his army. We're going down to verse 7. It says, then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalek king, but completely destroyed everyone else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs, everything in fact that appeared to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. So in verse, as you see, and I'm bringing this up because a lot of people, they read, they speak of the scripture where it says obedience is better than sacrifice. But in our teaching as well, what is being taught to us is that we must stay in the will of God. We have to stay in the center of God, in the will of God, which is the center. We have to stay in that center mass. If God tells us to do something, we need to do exactly what he tells us to do. Because anything, when you go back to verse 23, it says rebellion is as simple as witchcraft. So if we're not doing as Saul did in this particular, in chapter 15, God gave explicit instructions from the mouth of his prophet Samuel. I'm sorry, and Samuel. And he gave explicit instructions. He said exactly what he was to do. But see, Saul, I'm not going to say that he did not trust the Lord. He did what he wanted to do. He thought that it was okay that he did what he did. He actually even said that he did what the Lord told him to do. And Samuel had to go back and remind him, no, you didn't. Samuel had to go back and let him know that he didn't. Well, anyway, I purposely wanted to bring this scripture up to play because if you have been on with us since Monday up until today, a lot of things that were said are right here in this scripture. I want you to go back and I want you to read First Samuel 15, and it will give you a better understanding of what is being said to you because there are so many different sceneries here to back up what has been said. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring Apostle Temple in. So y'all get your pencils, get your pens, get your papers, and be ready to go and receive what God has for you. Good morning, Apostle Temple.
Good morning. Good morning. God bless everyone. A great response of different peoples all over the world, and especially about this teaching that we was led into. It wasn't nothing planned at all. It wasn't nothing script or planned that I planned it out on this day. We're going to be teaching about this and teaching about that. I'm just a firm believer, just a floor, flow with the Spirit of God. He always released things in his timing, in his set timing. You know, even though I believe that this is a topic that people need to be properly educated and need to be properly taught on these different things that we are doing and these different things that we have done. And that way you won't constantly keep falling into different things and you won't constantly keep getting into a trap on a whole bunch of different things. Amen. God bless all our families and especially our family in Nigeria. God bless you all as well. And I'm glad that you are you're learning the difference of different things. Amen. And you won't practice certain things, amen, that going to cause issues or repercussions to come into your life, amen. Well, first, evangelist, it's nothing else to be said because you said you pretty much put a period on it when you said rebellion is a operation of witchcraft. And people have to understand witchcraft is a practice. That's all. It's a practice. It's a practice pertaining to. To sum it all up spiritually, it's a practice pertaining to things out of the will of the Lord. That's what it is. It's a practice. It's a practice of somebody else's agenda outside of the will of the Lord. Somebody trying to attain things, get things, amen, or trying to control something outside of the will of the Lord. And that's pretty much it. It's the other side of the fence. It's not the fence where the it's not the side where the Lord is at. It's on the other side of the fence, amen? And it is a practice, amen? And so many people practice witchcraft and don't even know that they are practicing. Because you're anointed, that doesn't stop you for practice certain things. Because you're a preacher, that doesn't stop you for practice certain things. We have some individuals that practice fornication, practice lust, amen? Practice. In other words, you are repetition. That's the repetition of different things that you're doing in the Lord. Amen. Not in the Lord. A lot of people, even when it comes to sin. Amen. You got people practice. They got repetitions. They constantly do certain things. Amen. They constantly repeat, 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 and it's a practice for them. Amen. It's a practice for them in that area, and the same thing. Amen. It's a practice. And a lot of people look at it like, oh, these evil people and stuff like that. You could speak witchcraft over your own life. You could do certain things, amen, that is out of the will of the Lord that you go into operation in. This is the most construed area of understanding. You know, I was just communicating with the Holy Ghost, you know, and this morning, just communicating, and the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit said something to me to where I just shook my head. He said, can you believe that majority of the, you got a lot of people won't challenge the enemy or the devil, but they'll challenge the things in God? I said, wow, wow. He said many people won't challenge the enemy because they don't got this Hollywood stuff and people don't talk this stuff over the pulpit that it's not biblical to where, oh, you don't want to say that. Oh, they're going to come and do something. He's going to come and touch your life. He's going to come and do this here. He's going to come. Then out of the other mouth, God is a healer. God is a protector. God is this. Amen. So we don't want to speak things like, oh, man, I'm not worrying about the devil. I'm not worrying about this. I'm not worrying about that. But yet we'll go in sin and do different things that go against God's will, and we don't be worried about the repercussions that comes from the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit was talking to me this morning and was just really bringing, like, the message in the body of Christ and the teaching, it's got the people kind of misused, amen, to where we fearful of, I wish the devil would step up in my house. Oh, you don't challenge that. You don't challenge that. Oh, no. You don't know. But yet we could go in the Father's house with unclean hands with no fear. Something, are y'all there? I want to tap on my phone. Is anybody there? You know, it's like it's a backwards thing going on that the enemy is just loving it. He's just loving it. Fear into your life. Oh, no, you're going to die. You're going to die now. You're going to, this thing going to happen. I don't know what to do. But yet, we don't even have fear walking into the Father house without examining our own heart. We bring bitterness and envy and want him to destroy the enemies, rain down fires from heaven and tear this up. You're going to get what you deserve when you touch God anointed. We got all this going on, but yet we don't want to raise warfare on the enemy until a trial or something begins to happen. Oh, I rebuke you, devil. Where's all this talk? As you was in your walk of life, where's all this talk? Oh, the devil just came in and tear up stuff. How can he come in and just tear up things in your life, free will? And you are an anointed vessel of God. You are anointed servant of God. You're a child of God. And you mean to tell me that the enemy got a jurisdiction to come and mishandle and misuse and abuse the child of God? Something is not right with that theology. Something is not right with that. And this is what the greatest form that the enemy loved to do. He loved to pull out verses in scripture, because you got to understand, the enemy, he doesn't attack you with things that is not coming to you. He'll attack you with things that is coming to you. So if church language is coming to you, he's going to use that, because he's a great, my God, he's a great deceiver. So he's going to use things to manipulate the verse and rewire and say this and all that to bring attack to you. The biggest thing that we need to examine our life when we go into operate in certain things is my life prospering. I'm not talking about these little nuggets that drop here and drop there and you got a little job. No, all your life is blessed, because in God it's nothing but increase. Blessings in God. So this thing has been Hollywood in the body of Christ, an empty in and bringing fear to something where God said, I gave you a dominance over. I gave you power over it. How can you going to have fear in that, and you don't even have that type of fear in me? It was a time, let me get a little real with y'all. It was a time when you walk across the church ground, you wouldn't even smoke, cuss, you'll stop all your bad stuff until you get up a block or two. But now they'll do it in the back of the church. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. But then when they see a little smaller spirit, a little shadow, they get, ooh, Jesus, what is that? And you don't fear God, the one that has the power to not only destroy the body, but also the spirit? See the psychology that the enemy done brought in the house, and he uses people. He uses people, intellect, and he uses you to impart into others the same old nonsense that is happening in the body of Christ. Man, it was a time, I remember when I was young, and my God, we come by churches, I don't even care what we was talking about, what we was doing, we stopped everything and just walked past that church. We don't even come in, we don't even go, I ain't even talking about going inside, I'm talking about just walking by. Because we had a fear that God would strike us down. Now, we have prostitution going inside of the pulpit. We have, my God, a sin going inside of going on a platform where the altar is at. But the moment somebody says, oh, you don't want to challenge that. Don't challenge the enemy. He'll touch something to touch. What kind of nonsense of verse psychology that the body of Christ is walking in? What is this? And the biggest individual that we should fear is who? The Spirit of the Lord.
to step out of side of the will of the Lord. My goodness. So it's like the church done been helping, working with the enemy without them knowing. They working with the enemy to bring psychology to the minds of the people. Oh, the enemy going to touch my body. How in the world the enemy going to touch an anointed vessel body? My goodness, he tried to touch Jesus, but he couldn't touch that anointed vessel. He looked for the body of Moses. He couldn't find the body of the anointed vessel. How in the world that we so anointed, but yet so demon scared? I'm trying to figure this out. Oh, don't want to pick up that book. That's what the enemy don't want you to do. You don't need to hear nothing about that. Those spirits going to come. Why in the world I'm worrying about spirit and, my God, in this war angel, my goodness, with a fiery sword could do more damage than any kind of demonic being or any kind of demonic entity can. What happened to the body of church? What happened to the body of Christ walking bold before the Lord? Amen. Make it. As God declared in the book of Genesis that the serpent, my God, eat the dust of the ground. What happened to the body of Christ shredding and walking over the adversities of life and over the different things, bowing down in humbleness and fear and reverence before the living God? But yet I want to go before God because somebody lied on me and get them with rain and down, brimstones and fire. God, destroy the mouth of my victim. The scroll. What if you was somebody else victim and they saying the same prayer against you? They saying the same prayer against you because you offended them. It's with them. Not saying it's impossible that you can't. Everybody have their days. And that probably is just one of your days to where you was just, I just didn't want to be bothered. And somebody don't rub you the wrong way, and you cause offense against them, even though you went back and apologized. What is that gap that you didn't apologize? They don't say the prayer against you for the heavens to rain down fire to destroy you. You touched the wrong one. You touched God anointed. What if they say that prayer about you? See, we don't watch, and we don't sit back and see this stuff. And we don't see these different things that the church operated in spiritual witchcraft. It's a practice. God, the Bible never declared for you to bring bodily harm to people, to souls. These are the souls of God's people. Why God want to destroy everybody that gets on your nerves and don't lie about you, don't stab you in the back, don't betray you? Now he needs to destroy everybody. Everybody done did that in the world. Listen, the kingdom will not be built because the hell will constantly enlarge it. And you mean to tell me that God's going to mess up his operation, the operation of heaven, winning souls into the kingdom of heaven, the business of heaven, winning souls into the kingdom of heaven, finna get messed because somebody did something wrong to you? Church operating in spiritual witchcraft to harvest for the enemy without them knowing that they workers of the enemy. How can you say that, Pastor? Well, if you're not in the will of the Lord, you have to be in the will of something. How can you say that, Pastor? Well, the Bible says it. The Bible says you could either love the one and hate the other. You can only be hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm. Oh, come on, somebody. Well, I talked to God. Satan did too. Satan had a full conversation with God. They wasn't yelling. They wasn't fighting. God didn't say, I rebuke you, devil, in the name, in my name. How can you say that? Well, the Bible tells you that in the book of Job. Then the Bible declared that the Son of God came before the Lord, presented himself. It was almost like a meeting that it was coming into. And the Bible says Satan came also. And the Lord looked at Satan and said, where you going, Satan? Where you going, boy? And Satan said, well, I'm just walking up down this doggone road and just looking for some folks and looking for somebody whom I may devour. I want to just eat them up, spit them out. But even from that scripture right there, it shows you that the enemy doesn't have no jurisdiction to just enter into your sanctified life. Why? Because the Bible said he was walking to and fro seeking. Seeking means he's searching. He's looking. He's trying to find. You worrying about the enemy. And what God said, you need to be worrying about me. Because he don't have no jurisdiction. I'm the one put him out. He didn't put me out of my kingdom. I put him out. I'm the one gave man dominion and power over them. Not only him, but them. How can you say that, Pastor? Did the Bible say I give you the power? I give you the power. And I was teaching on last night. The most thing right here, watch this. The most thing that the church done got all twisted up. They took this one little story from the book of Job. Oh, God done granted the enemy to touch me. God done allowed the enemy to touch. What? What? God did that. He gave the permission to one man, and that was his test. Test to what? Satan gave him a conversation. Say, listen, I held Job to curse you to your face. God said, I'll tell you what, you bad boy. You go right ahead. But watch this. Before then, where Joel was in the midst of a covering, in the midst of being covered by God. How can you say that, Pastor? Did the enemy point it out and told the Lord, say, listen, you got, yeah, I see what you got, but you got hedges around him. If you remove these hedges, you move this thing that you got around him, this covering that you got around him. I touch him and make him curse you to your face. He had to ask to remove the covering. So you think, God, that's your test as well? The body of Christ test? Everybody got to go through the same test with Job? Why Abraham ain't going through that? He went through his own test. Why Noah didn't go through that? He went through a flood test. Build a ark. My God, why Jacob and why Isaac? Why these other people ain't go? Why all of something, the theology in the body of Christ that, oh, and that's, watch this. This is where the enemy begin to have rulership. Why? First of all, you have to accept them. So if I accept, it's many things that God showed me. And I realized that it wasn't God, different trials or different things that had been trying to flee or trying to show up in something coming down a pipeline. I immediately begin to rebuke it because I have to let the enemy know my life is no longer there. I passed that test. I went through that thing. I came through that situation. And you ain't finna take me back through something else. No, I'm not going to receive that as if it's coming from the Spirit of the Lord. I'm walking into the new. I'm going into the, oh boy, I feel this thing in my bones. I'm walking into new structure. I'm not going back there to revisit gossip. I'm not going back there to overcome different things here. You tried to steal and you tried to take my business, my God Almighty, that you didn't have no jurisdiction to cross that line and come and try to force your way. I dealt with you on that, and there's no way you're going to come back and try to bring this nonsense to resurrect it in my life. My last time is losing. My last time is giving up, throwing in the towel. I don't overcome that. I'm moving on, and I got to go. Where y'all at this morning? It was Job was in a covering. He wasn't in a place to get touched to God. And a lot of people go through things, and the first thing that they do, they have to receive it. So now they got this diagnosis and then diagnosing of their situation down pat. Because they don't heard somebody taught it. They don't heard somebody say it. They don't heard somebody describe. So now it looks like it. Now it looks like it. Oh, yeah, I'm going through one of these trials again. Yeah, the Lord allowed the enemy to come in and say, what? Why he didn't do that for Jesus? The Bible said in 40 days, 40 nights, the tempter came. And guess what? The tempter was not successful. Because why? He came on his own. He was not successful to defeat who? Jesus. Then the Bible also declares that when they were sitting down and Jesus was amongst the disciples, then he asked them and said, whom do you say I am? Then some say you this, and some say you that. Then one person got it right with Simon Peter and say, you are the Son of the living God. But a few scriptures down, when Peter began to, when Simon Peter began to try to come against the plan that God had for Jesus and his purpose, Jesus recognized immediately that's the enemy trying to stop me. And he said, what? I rebuke you, Satan. And what happened? Immediately the enemy had to leave. So I'm trying to figure out, how can we as peoples of God get caught up in so much devil stuff and don't be entwined in what God is doing? How can we constantly keep missing seasons and blessings, but we can, but we will not miss a diagnosis of the enemy? How can we recognize so much jealousy and envy and gossip and a demonic spirit trying to hold you and demonic spirit, but we cannot recognize that God done sent somebody in my life to be a blessing? God is releasing blessings over here. Let me keep walking over here. Your life should be so full with productivity till you don't even must recognize demonic entity. Why? Because number one, the Bible says, resist him, he shall what? Flee. So I don't even got time for that nonsense. Because at the end of the day, long as I focus on the promise of God and what God says and use that for my focus point, I don't have time what's going on in here. Because what the enemy want to do, he want to draw you from the covering of God. Because the enemy, just as Job know, my God, he knew, Satan knew with Job, if the covering is still there, the hedge is still there, I can't fool with them. So I need to draw them out of the covering of God. See, it's your choice to stay in the covering, amen, and it's your choice to leave from up under the covering, because scripture declares that God says, I will never leave you, nor I will not forsake you, amen. He said that, amen, and he will let you know that I'm not going to leave you. You have to leave out of the covering. You have to leave from me, because I'm not going to leave from you. I want to tell somebody this morning, no longer you shall walk in fear. No longer you shall walk in misdoctrine and miss, my God almighty, teaching, amen, that got you trapped into a place to where you cannot walk in boldness and walk in the domination. I want to let somebody know that you are the dominating one. You are the one that God consider that you're not just a conqueror, but you are more than a conqueror. You need to take authority of your house. But first of all, make sure you don't got no property of the enemy, and make sure that you've given up all his property, not a piece of it. You don't need to keep no souvenir, because long as you keep a souvenir, he has a right to come back to your house because you got something of him. But make sure you clean out all your property. The Bible put it as this, my God, strip yourself naked, then present yourself as a living sacrifice. What's wrong with the saints that you can't walk in the fullness of the Lord and the blessings that God has for you? What's wrong with the saint that still focus on a devil infestation instead of focus on a Holy Ghost filled body? I need somebody to help me with this one. So now we begin to operate in these different things that we are operating and practicing witchcraft, but we don't call it witchcraft. We call it, some people call it, I'm just working by faith. Well, let's talk about that just for a split second, because I did a teaching a little bit on you last night. I'm just working by faith. Well, let's look at this. Witchcraft, people use potions, they use oil, they got fragrance oil, they got different things that they put in, they got different things like that, and they want, they trying to get something happen that they did not earn, or trying to make something happen, trying to control something to snatch the choice away from people or snatch the choice away from an individual. Even if somebody wants to be in relationship with you and they have not earned that place in your heart, so they begin to work a different black magic to snatch that choice that God gave to you, that foundational choice for you to make the decision if you want to be here or be with that individual or not. So they're going to say, I'm going to go past the will of the structure that God set up and take your choice away from you, and I'm going to work this thing on you because you is going to be mine. Well, let's look at something else. My God Almighty, people don't got things set up. They got cars and houses. Car lot got cars, and people got houses that they selling, and that they, my God, that they selling to provide a living for themselves and also to feed their employee. Who could say that the employee is a child of God, that their God done blessed them with that job and blessed them with that promotion so they could begin to, my God Almighty, take care of their life, and that's the income or that's the avenue God is using to bless them with. But here come our Holy Ghost faithful self with the oil on our hand. My God, then we got so deep and we writing the specific area on it. This is your car oil. This is your house oil. And put it on your hand. What you see, you're going to lay hands on it, and God going to give it to you. You're going to get it. You're going to walk in your house. You're going to walk in this, not even trying to improve your life and better your life by working on your credit score, by saving some money up and put to the side. What are we doing? Are we trying to get a blessing, or are we trying to steal, and we call it God just gave me something? Then here you go, time go down the road, and what you don't got yourself up into, you didn't count it up the cost, and you didn't plan for different things. You don't let folks told you that God gonna pay your bills. I never seen God came down from heaven, my God, with my God Almighty, with the bank account truck, amen, and came and paid somebody bill. No, he used people, amen, to do different things. I never seen an angel came down straight from heaven and went to the bank and paid your mortgage, amen. The Bible declare, if a man doesn't work, a man doesn't eat. The Bible declare, faith without work is dead. So now we finna go against, my God, and try to override, my God, the laws that God done set up for we can establish ourselves and better ourselves. He said, obey the laws of the land, and this is the structure that the land have. So since I'm a child of God, I can override that, and we call the overriding favor. Y'all hear me? We call it favor. So favor is on my life. I can begin to have this. I don't need no money, my God. So if I don't need no money, you don't need no money. Whoever work in that business, own that business, own that home, own that car, y'all don't need no money either to pay your bills. You don't need no money either to support your life. You don't need no money either to take care of your kids, amen, because I don't need it. You don't need it. We got favor, and favor going to buy for me, and favor going to do it all for me. I don't put my hands on it. I don't claim it. Now I believe it's going to be mine, and I don't have to give up nothing. I don't have to do anything. You're a spiritual witch working at his best. Folks don't want to do anything to work, to receive the blessings, for God could be able to bless them. They just want it just like that, a snap of the finger. Folks don't want to do things to obey certain structure that has been putting in place. I feel as though many folks, baby, all you do is pay your tithes. And you pay your tithes, give your offering. You finna have a financial blessing like crazy. That's a lie. I don't care what you do and pay. If you don't have a budget plan, you don't have a saving plan, you don't know how to manage money, you can pay your tithes all you want. You're still going to have a life filled with holes, and life is not going to be prosperous. Is anybody talking to me? Y'all talking to me this morning? Can't get no amens, amen? That's the biggest myth. All you got to do is sow this seed. God going to turn around, and God going to pay it in off in front. That's the most, because what? I do believe God paid things, allowed things to have favor to pay off, and I believe that God does it for people that have been manipulated. People that been lied to, and they don't sign paper it, they don't sign things, got themselves into some things, and they've been manipulated. And I believe God blessed other people, this other side of people, that people went into something with good intentions and they was doing good. But life or things happen in life that cause their financial issues to turn, and no longer they can't take care of, they can't do it. I believe that. But what I don't believe, some of us jokers, we know exactly what we was doing. We knew exactly that we was getting them people stuff, and we ain't had no thing about it to keep the payments up on these doggone things. We knew exactly what we was doing. We knew exactly what we was getting into. But yet, the biggest myth of it all, we jumping and shouting, God's going to back. No, you witch. You operating in spiritual witchcraft. You're stealing. So God's going to do it. God's going to do it. God's going to help you steal. You owe these folks. Oh, God, get these debt collectors away. You got these folks service, and now you're trying to pray for these folks to go away, you thief. You're operating in the spiritual witchcraft. Oh, if you don't pay God his money, you've been a robber. Well, you've been a robber for a long time because you're robbing other folks. The business, you're robbing other folks. Contracts that you signed, you knew exactly what you were getting into. But you didn't count up the cost. Oh, come on, somebody. I know this tough. I know this rough for a month, for a morning. Amen. But it's the truth. And people begin to operate in these things. And not knowing, you operate in this spiritual witchery. Not knowing. So we want God to move for us, and our hands are dirty. We want God to move for us, and what comes out our mouth, what we're speaking out our mouth, is filthy. We want God to move for us, but our heart is full of deception and deceitful. We just feel like we mean it right now because I want it right now. We want God to move for us. It's sin. Spiritual witchery. That is not of God. These things are not of God. Oh, my finances are going to get turned around right now. I can see it in the name of Jesus. First of all, have you learned the value of a dollar? The Bible says despise not small beginnings. Have you learned the value? Have you stopped supporting your weakness more than you saving? Are you taking care of the responsibilities financially that God placed you with? And I'm talking about that's your rent or your lease or your mortgage. I'm talking about your light bill. I'm talking about your gas bill. I'm talking about your water bill. If you don't sign your contract, regardless if it was a bougie deal, I'm talking about it's your car bill, your car note, your car insurance that they say you have to be legal in the laws of land. How we establish a legal right to declare and decree something here on earth because we are walking in the law that is established here on earth. Well, no, we are a child of God, Pastor. We don't have to live by these folks around here. We don't have to do that. I tell you what, you go out there and break the law, and let's see if you're going to get judged. Let's see if you're going to get judged different because you're a child of God. Come on, somebody. If it's so, I would tell the mother, stop singing that song, that he's a lawyer in the courtroom because there's no need for him because we already established, my God Almighty, we get treated differently. Come on, somebody. I'm going to end this. I got to end this part. I know it's so much to it, and there's a lot to it. We have to have a heart and hands of truth if we're going to operate and maneuver in the spirit and want things to come. First of all, we got to evaluate ourselves. How can we ask God to do something in our life, and we are not even positioned to receive it? How can I ask God to bless me with a job and I don't even get up off my butt and go to places and go and fill out applications? I sit there and just waiting on somebody to tell me something. Many people got this motion that God will come and give you things on a platter. That the case, he won't even give you ability to move around, ability to work, give you the strength to do different things if he wants you to just sit and wait on him. We have to understand that it's only by truth and it's only by, my God, righteousness that we'll begin to see the things of God to maneuver. No manipulation. No trying to deceive. Regardless if somebody don't like you, regardless if somebody speak against you, regardless if somebody hates you, that's still a soul and a child of God. Basically, my natural relationship, I could deal with you from afar because you got a lot of things going on. But that ain't for me to have envy and hatred in my heart, and I want to see heaven to destroy you because that is not in the Bible, and that's not the will of God. Because why would God lose a soul just because you've been insulted? That's not God. People operate in spiritual witchery. trying to wish bad on somebody or hope that something going to happen to them. The Bible already sought up on different things how God would take care of issues. Number one, you will reap what you sow. And he didn't put no name. He didn't put no gender. He didn't put no religion on it. That is a law, regardless of who you are. The world call it karma. Dealing with different things in life because it's probably something that they sowed. And some of them, it probably be just bad teaching. Where you stand with God, let it be true. Let it be honest. Exhibit yourself. Don't go and try to hide yourself. You're a liar. Say, I'm a liar. I'm a user. I got addiction. I got a habit. I remember when God called me. It was my young time. And I knew it was the calling of God because I was having all kinds of stuff. I was seeing all kinds of stuff. Spiritual things was a villain. Until one day he kept pressing me and I got tired of him. I was walking down the road, Fort Pierce, Florida, down 15th Street, where my grandmother lived to this day, walking down that road, going to the beer hut, had a Black and Mild in my hand. I was smoking. And I got so aggravated because I kept feeling this thing tugging me and just kept feeling this feeling keep coming all over me, and it just got me aggravated. And I looked my cigar up to him. I say, you want me to be saved and work for you and do different things and all this stuff here? I say, well, this is my problem. I love my cigars. I had a Black and Mild called Swiss and Sweet. Y'all know about them. Some of you still got them. And I yelled that to God. I said, this is my problem. So you want me to do things for you, and you want me to start living a life? You take this away from me. You take this away from me, I go and do what I need to do. And after I finished talking to him like that, I went back smoking, walking down the road. Woke up the next morning, not a single taste of urge or craving came in my mouth or came in my body. Been away from them since. My goodness. And that was when I was about 22, 23. Been away from them since. Because why? I was truthful. I was honest. I didn't come to play games. Didn't come to play with this thing. So stop playing. God will deliver you, but stop playing. God has set you free, but stop playing. You don't have to use no gimmicks. You don't have to put no oil or vinegar or salt around your house to keep the enemy at bay. Stop playing with him. He'll understand that you are already anointed, you're appointed, and you got the jurisdiction and dominion over him. You don't have to do that nonsense. Stop playing. My goodness. Walk in truth. I'm back to you, Evangelist. I got to go. God bless all of you.
Praise the Lord. What a word. Stop playing. Stop playing. That's the ending word. Stop playing. Just let go and let God. I pray that all the words that are coming out of Apostle Temple's mouth that you all are in a place of receiving. As I started when I came on, as I said it in the middle of the segment, it's God. God is at a place where he is exposing. It goes back to a prophetic that came out at the beginning of this year that God is exposing. He is exposing some things, and in the exposure, he's exposing the truth. He's taking the things off of tradition. He's exposing where we should be at this point in time in order to get to the next place. And what I'm going to leave you with this morning is stop playing. Stop playing. Let go and let God and stay where you're supposed to be. Do not allow anything, anybody, whoever, to control your mind. Trust in God. Trust in God and give him whatever the circumstances and the situation is so you can stay in the center and stop playing, because you do not want to deal with what may have to come down the line because you're choosing. You made the wrong choice. As we'll see you all back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., just know that God is doing a new thing. You are up every morning. You are on this train. He has the conductor, hallelujah, in place. Just be where you're supposed to be when that stop comes to bring you on, because God is bringing his people into a newness. I can scream it to the mountaintop. I can scream it. I'm telling you, he's bringing me into a newness. I get excited about it. I get excited. So I'm just thankful for Apostle Temple being that vessel that said, God, use me. Use me, Father God. Use me, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Use me, Father God, to set your people free. Freedom, freedom, freedom is ringing. Hallelujah. So I'm just excited, Apostle. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not going to apologize. I am grateful that God is setting me free. I am grateful for the emancipation that is going on this line. So I sit and say to you all, just let go and let God. We'll see you back on tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Praise the Lord.